From sunny California, it's the Ride Ready Podcast, brought to you by the Polaris Help Center. I'm Joe Ziemer, and I am not an expert. But here at Camp Razor, I was lucky enough to be joined by a man who is an expert on a whole lot of things. Our Glamis series concludes with an appearance by the one and only Hubert Rowland of Nitro Circus and many, many other things. Prior to putting on the first of three Nitro Circus shows at Camp Razor, Hubert stopped by the Glamis Beach Door for a wide-ranging conversation. Enjoy. This one was a lot of fun.
The big old red record button.
Yeah, it has been hit. Very excited to be joined right now by the man known as everyone's favorite redneck. Do I have everything on your resume here? Racer, engineer, track builder, mechanic at Pastrana Land. Did I miss anything?
Yeah, kind of jack of all trades.
Jack of all trades, master of all?
Yeah, for the most part.
Well, we're so glad to have Hubert Rowland joining us. Hubert, what is this weekend going to be like for you? There's a lot of work going on to get ready for the three Nitro Circus shows we're all lucky enough to enjoy here. What's going to be going on behind the scenes?
So, yeah, I'm really lucky to be part of Nitro Circus and Travis Pastrana and all that kind of stuff, you know, as kind of main mechanic, track builder, stunt builder, all that kind of stuff. And then really pumped to be part of Nitro as far as Nitro is invited and part of the Camp Razor show in itself. We're going to put on a full-on Nitro Circus show, just like we do all over the world. So I'm super pumped on that. And then, you know, we kind of roll in early on. They meet with some other people and get, like, location set on kind of where it's going to go. The crew comes in about a week early and starts really prepping. You know, y'all's crew preps the area as far as get some water down, get it packed, and all that kind of stuff. And then our crew comes in and sets up the ramps, the landings, the flooring, all that kind of stuff. Because being on sand, the sand eats away really fast. That's just kind of the nature of sand. So we got to get it packed down enough to put our flooring down. And it's more like a plastic rubbery type flooring, so it's a solid base. The ramps won't move. The bikes won't tear it all up. You know, it stays nice, kind of like a stadium floor. And they use this floor on all kind of – they use it on either stadium floors or they use it on grass fields, if it goes soccer fields, all that kind of stuff. And then that's just on the dirt bike side. On the Gigantoramp side, which is bicycles, skateboards, you know, all kinds of different objects from – rocking horses to coolers to everything else. The same idea. You need a good flooring to start. Then you set up the ramp. Then you set up landing, set up the airbags, all that kind of stuff. And then like audio comes in and TV screens come in. That's kind of the general setup to get it up and going. And then here we are. We fly in Wednesday. Camp Razor starts on Friday. So kind of Hollywood style, honestly. But, you know, that's they don't really need us as far as that end of it. You know, the crew and all that kind of stuff that puts it up, they got it handled. They do it all over the world, and they do it pretty darn fast. So outdoor venues are a little bit more, you know, depending on weather and all that kind of stuff. Luckily, it never rains here, like ever, which is – they should give you chapstick when you get off the plane here. I truly believe that because it's so dry. But, you know, they got it set up, and then we come in and do our end of it. So we're going to put on three shows, one Friday, two on Saturday. And then the ending one on Saturday, that's when all the giveaways happen of all the awesome stuff Polaris does for the riders and fans.
When you're out there, is it different being in an outdoor environment compared to that stadium feel, whether you guys are in a football stadium or a soccer stadium?
Yeah, I mean, the environment is a little bit different because you are outside. You're in the elements. It's definitely different here because we're just in a big open area. When it's an outside venue like a soccer field or a baseball field, you know, you're still outside, but you're in a stadium. You're surrounded by seats. So you really have that feeling of, you know, there's a lot of people watching. Here it is a little bit different because it's all ground level. So the fans, I mean, there's no elevation for them to get up. It's not like stadium seating. I'm not saying it's better or worse, but it is a different kind of feel. But I've been to Camp Razor the past 4 or 5 years, and when it comes showtime, I mean, they mob the fences. We've got a big area laid out for the crowd. And it'll be packed to the gills. I mean, they don't let machines in, but standing room only. And they'll be loving the show, but then they'll be even loving when they start giving away free razors.
Are you going to have a chance to get any riding in while you're out here this weekend, or are you going to be so busy with Nitro Circus that you're not going to get a chance to hit the dunes?
I mean, the riding aspect, you know, I'm kind of either way. I'd love to go out and see some stuff, but there is a lot of people out there. You really have to be aware of your surroundings. Especially this weekend, because it's opening weekend of basically what they call dune season, where it actually finally cools down enough that you won't melt when you walk outside and you can go ride. So I've been here numerous times. I'd love to be able to go get in a Pro XC Pro XP four-seater and just try it out. We have a couple Pro XP two-seaters at Pastrana Land, and they're awesome. And the four-seater, I can only imagine it's the same awesome thing, just with two more seats. But, you know, I really hope to be able to get out there and ride around and see, you know, Oldsmobile Hill and the sand drags and all that kind of cool stuff. And, you know, the really cool thing is going out at night. And that's, it's almost safer because you can see lights coming. But at the same time, it's scary because you can't see over the dunes and the hills and stuff like that. But if you, you know, you make it out kind of the main direction to get out to Olds Hill, which is a nice kind of easy way, and get on top, you look down, it's like a city down there. It's unreal how many people and all the whip lights, and it's just amazing. I really hope I get to go see it this time.
For people who are from elsewhere in the world, other parts of the country, how does the riding compare out here? You do, how is it different from what they might be used to on their trails in the Midwest or out east?
Yeah, I mean, the sand dunes is its own thing. I mean, I don't say this to be too negative, but at the end of the day, it's nothing but sand hills. That's really all it is. But the way the wind sculpts them and the way they're always changing, it's pretty amazing in itself. And when you get out there to like Olds Hill and like the big hill, it's like a mountain of sand, and it's like unreal. You get up there and you can look, and as far as you can see, it's just sand dunes. That's amazing in itself. That's kind of, not to be emotional, almost breathtaking. Like, holy cow, you know, I'm very, very small compared to all this. But it is a whole different animal. I mean, like, paddle tires make it much, much easier to ride out here, but you don't have to have them. You can do it on, you know, factory tires. They do fine, but you just have to carry a little more momentum. You use your four-wheel drive, and you got to be smart. You need to, you know, you have to have a whip flag. That's law. And you have to have a riding permit. That's law. But outside of that, it's kind of free reign. I mean, of course, everyone should wear a helmet no matter what, but you have people that do and don't. I don't see why you ride without a helmet. But, you know, it is way different. I advise everyone to come see it at least once. I could be out here a couple of days, and I've seen enough because, like, there's no shade. There's no trees. There's no water. There's cool hill climbs, but, like, if you don't know what you're doing, you'll get stuck. And you're stuck on the side of a sand hill, and you might roll over to the bottom, and then you got to have help getting back up. So if you come out here, it's definitely advised to come out with someone that's been here and kind of knows what's going on. That's the biggest thing. But you can venture out on your own. Just got to be really careful and, you know, any kind of going over hills, watch for people and that sort of stuff. Because on this opening weekend, BLM figures there'll be roughly 150,000 people out here on this opening weekend. Now, that's throughout all of the dunes. That's not just right here. But that's a lot of people. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, you put that many people in an area that's basically like 30 square miles, it's not really a lot, but they do all migrate towards the couple cool areas, so you do have to be overly careful. But at the same time, it's awesome, awesome environment. Everyone's super friendly and welcoming, and it's just great to see this many people enjoying the same thing. You know, that's what it's just a big family. It's amazing.
You have a favorite vehicle to ride out here?
I mean, I've been out here in the dunes for numerous times, filming with Nitro Circus, doing Camp Razor, all that kind of stuff. Every vehicle is good. You know, I come from dirt bikes. I love that kind of stuff. But a dirt bike without a paddle tire, you're working hard all day long. And dirt bikes are really only fun if you're really going really big. And this kind of weekend, not really. I rode ATVs out here. They're a lot of fun, too. But in all honesty, my favorite vehicle to go ride dunes, trails, basically anything nowadays, maybe it's because I'm getting older, is a UTV, preferably a Polaris Razor. I mean, that's the cream of the crop right there. It's easy. You can just hop in and drive, but it's got performance when you want it. It can just cruise when you want it. It kind of does anything and everything, and that's not a spill towards anything. I mean, I've rode everything out here, and they all have their advantages, but one good all-round vehicle is, you know, basically a UTV.
So when you come out here, what accessories or gear and parts and tools do you consider must-haves?
I mean, my must-have list kind of goes across the board kind of anywhere and everywhere I go. I'm a mechanic background. I come from Wyotech, certified mechanic, you know, worked on anything and everything for, you know, basically half my life or more. I advise everyone to bring enough stuff to be self-sufficient for kind of that, something happened. Now, like, I advise, you don't really need it out here. I don't think as much, but I advise like a tire plug kit. So in case you get a flat, you can plug your tire and have a little compressor to air it back up, or a little CO2 or whatever, or even a bicycle pump. You know, it's not ideal, but it's kind of a just in case. Now out here, there's not really much stuff stabbing your tires because it's sand, so that might not be quite as necessary, but everywhere else in the country, it kind of is. I advise bringing a spare drive belt. I mean, belts break, it happens. It's just part of it. Out here in the sand, you put a lot of load on these machines, and it takes a lot of power to get up things, and so you kind of have to be pretty hard on it to get to some of the top of the hills. And if you're a good driver and you carry good momentum and stuff like that, you're not really too hard on it outside of the normal. But for those that are kind of new out here, you stop at the bottom of a hill and you just suddenly want to get up it and you just stab it, you're going to build a lot of belt heat really fast. And heat is the enemy of all belts. It will melt them down. And so if that was to happen, you know, have a spare belt and know how to change it. Have your belt tool with you to know how to spread the secondary clutch open. That way it makes it easy. Now, you can change it without the tool. You don't have to have it, but you better be a beast. I mean, you better work out because that clutch doesn't care whether you're wanting it on or not. It's going to stay closed. So have a belt tool. Have a spare belt. Carry water. I mean, carry water for hydration and maybe a just in case if you do overheat. Because like I say, you're stressing these machines extremely hard in the sand, so they do tend to run a little bit hotter at times. You can't really help that. It's not a brand thing. It's just kind of across the board. You got to ride kind of smart. You know, outside of that, you know, that's really about it. Now stuff to keep in the trailer. I mean, I would carry a spare set of ball joints, a spare set of tie rods, at least one front and rear axle, more so just in case. You don't have to carry all that on me. Usually I do carry that stuff on me. Mostly not because I know I'm going to break stuff, because I'm pretty reserved when it comes to trail riding and trying to make a certain point, but kind of to help people just in case. I have been on trails and, you know, gave people a tie rod to get them back home or an axle or a belt or whatever. So, you know, in the trailer, I would keep some ball joints, stuff like that. Maybe even keep an A-arm, you know, a lower one for each side, because those are usually the first to give. Uppers don't give quite as much. And that's all from just experience and seeing what happens. And this is like all brands. This happens to everybody. The biggest danger out there for a machine, besides overheating and the high stress, is when you come over a dune and you're going down the backside of it, sand won't fall vertical. Dirt will. Dirt will. You can cut it off vertical, or rocks. It'll go vertical, where sand will never do that because it's too coarse. But at the bottom, sometimes it'll create a pocket. They call it a witch eye. And you can come over a hill and you catch a witch eye. Well, you can rip a whole front wheel off, you know, because it'll be a pocket within the hillside. And if you catch it wrong, it can really, really mess your day up. So you just kind of got to be aware of that. You kind of never cross dunes at a direct straight and over. You kind of ride to the top and teeter over from like corner to corner. That's kind of how you pivot over dunes instead of going just straight vertical over them, because you'll bottom out and get stuck. So, and you always turn into the downhill. That'll keep you from rolling over. Little things like that. You can watch people and learn, or you can go out with people and learn, or you can kind of learn on your own. So, you know, I mean, that's kind of the basic of what I would carry as far as out here and kind of in general. Make sure you got plenty of gas. You don't want to get all the way out there and get out of gas, because there ain't no shade. And, yeah, I mean, you might have water and stuff like that, but that's not going to help you get back. So don't carry gas on your machine. Do not. I do not advise that ever. Just because the only accessible place to haul gas is in the wrong place. The bed area is over the motor. That's the hottest part of the machine. You don't want gas anywhere near that. They don't put them warning stickers on there for no reason. So don't be hauling gas back there at all. You know, but leave full of gas. And know kind of how far you can go on a tank. That's big. Maybe carry some snacks. Carry an umbrella because it's hot and you need shade.
You mentioned the heat. If you're like me from the Midwest, the weather is very different down here. Comfortable riding attire. What is a good thing to be wearing when you're out here in the dunes?
Comfortable attire, you know, if you're on bikes and four-wheelers, you need something that's going to be kind of just in case you fall over or something like that. UTVs, it's not quite as common. But you need attire that's going to breathe. Sunscreen. You need sunscreen. And if you can mentally be okay with wearing long sleeves, like a riding jersey and maybe like a thinner pants, I would highly advise wearing that kind of stuff, because it'll keep the sun off of you. And as you sweat, that'll attract the sweat off of you. But then again, when the wind, it'll cool you all at the same time. So it's kind of, it's kind of counterproductive, but it does exactly what it's supposed to do. Of course, wearing a helmet, wearing goggles, unless you have an enclosed, like an off-road type helmet, you know, and a ventilation system and all that kind of stuff. But helmet and goggles, gloves are advised. You know, I wear gloves. Of course, I don't advise doing anything in flip-flops or sandals. I think you should have shoes on. That's just my preference. You know, if you're going dirt bike or four-wheeler, like I say, if you can possibly fall over, you probably should have riding boots on just to keep your ankles nice and safe.
Let's talk preventative maintenance. You know about this as well as anybody. What are some easy things we can be doing to keep an eye on before doing riding that'll make our lives a lot easier down the road?
So, yeah, I mean, preventative maintenance, and we'll stick to UTVs because dirt bikes and four-wheelers is a whole nother world. I probably do more maintenance, probably is equal as much as I do riding. And it's more so just because I know what I put the machines through. I know what Travis and Nitro Circus puts the machines through. I know firsthand what they're doing with them. So we want to make sure there's no failures at any given time. If they do, it's kind of like a freak thing. They were just stressing it harder than what it was really, we were thought it would be stressed. Of course, do your oil changes, your oil filter changes, stuff like that, you know, every X amount of hours, you know, whatever the book requires or whatever you decide. Same thing with transmissions and stuff like that. Keep your fluids, you know, keep them good. I change transmission and diff oils more often than I change motor oils because the motor, since it's its own deal, it has a filter and stuff. It's like a lot like a car. The oil stays pretty good. I want to say service is around 20 to 25 hours on oil, but I'll change the transmission and diff oil twice before I change the motor. Reason being, a transmission and a diff, there are gears. So when two gears are meshing together, they're smashing that oil. And they're smashing it, and they're basically breaking the oil down faster than what a motor would, because the motor really doesn't have many gears in it. It has a pump pushing the oil to the top, and it's just keeping everything lubed and cool. So that's just my preference, is to do those two, because they do eat up oil faster. Of course, your tire pressure, your wheel bearings. Back east, we grease wheel bearings a lot. You can get little wheel bearing greasers that you pull the hub off, it slides right over the axle, put a couple of pumps of grease in there, and it keeps the wheel bearing grease nice. You know, out here being dry, you don't have to worry about that quite as much. But back in the east where it's wet, it's muddy, you're always kind of messing around with water, like not going swimming in it with it or nothing, but water's always in those areas. Check your brake pads. Make sure they're half tread or better. Make sure they're not rubbing on anything. Make sure a rock didn't get stuck in the rear wheel and rub on the wheel and rub on the caliper. That's actually fairly common. Depending on where you ride, the dirt thrown off the front wheels naturally flies to the back, of course. That's how it is. So when it flies to the back, some of it does go between the trailing arm on an XP model and the back wheel, and therefore it kind of directs it into the back wheel. If it's dry, it doesn't matter. It's going to fall right back out. But if it's kind of a wetter base stuff, it'll kind of build up inside there. And I have seen rocks kind of get clogged and stuck between the caliper and the wheel and basically just slice the wheel in half. They didn't really know it was happening until they lost all the air and you need a wheel now. So just kind of over-check that stuff, make sure it's doing good. Like I say, check bearings all the way around. Check your arm bushings, front and rear, make sure they're good. The rears are on Himes, and as long as there's no play in them, they're usually pretty good. But, you know, get it up off the ground, grab the wheel, try to push it up and down and in and out and kind of tweak it and stuff. If it's got a little bit of play in it, the Heim joints are starting to loosen up. You need to look into Heim joints. Not a crazy expensive fix, but it's maintenance that needs to be watched over. Front arms the same way. When you jack it up, grab the wheel, kind of twist it and pull it all different directions. Normally, lower arm bushings wear out before uppers because they catch a lot of stress. It's not the end of the world. The bushing kits are not very expensive, and they're not hard to change whatsoever. So change them while you're at the shop instead of getting out here and noticing, oh, my arm bushings are loose. Well, I'm guessing I'm just going to ride it. Well, that works, but it puts wear on the bolts. It puts wear on the bushing sleeves. It puts wear on the arms. So catch it ahead of time. You know, myself, I pull axles out, grease them, and put them back in just to do it. And not like I break a lot of axles, but it makes the axle easy to come out if something were to happen. If you get on a trail, you break an axle, you got a spare, awesome. But if you can't get the axle out of the transmission or out of the diff, you're going to be fighting that thing for a while. That's a very, very common problem, especially in the East. Them hillbillies are hard on stuff. They go up these hills and hold it wide open, and they break it, and they're like, well, what happened? Well, you held it wide open. That's what happened. But then because we ride in mud and water and everything, you know, over time, the axle kind of gets rusted into the transmission and the diff. And it's nobody's fault except their fault because they didn't pull it out, clean it, grease it, put it back in there. And I know that's more than what most people want to, but if you want your ride to be easy and easy to work on, that's kind of what it takes. Check your tie rods. Check for play in your rack. You know, and that's all, it's all simple. Just jack it up, grab the wheel, and kind of shake it. And make sure there's no play. And if there's play, find where the play is coming from and say, okay, well, I need a new rack, or I need a new tie rod end, or, you know, I need a new bushing. You know, just very, very simple things. Check your U-joints on your drive shaft. Make sure they're, you can't grease them from the factory. You don't need to. But if you're in mud and water, it is going to work its way in over time. Just make sure there's no play in your U-joints. Make sure there's no play in your steering. You know, these are all things that they're basically controlling your machine. And if they fail while you're riding, especially at a high rate of speed, something bad could happen. So you want to be in a good machine. I treat all machines like full race cars. I mean, we get them ready for just a trail ride. We're doing all this stuff just in case. The last thing I want to do is go ride and something fail. That just takes all the fun out of it. And that comes from the racing mentality where we're in this too deep to fail. So we're not going to fail because of a mechanical, easy mechanical failure. Now, if we fail, it's going to be like we broke something because we were stressing it past what it was really supposed to be.
You're very involved with some rider safety courses. So what kind of organizations are you working with there, and what sort of events do you like to do?
So, yeah, last year we started basically a power sports safety awareness. I've seen injuries. I've been part of injuries. I've been injured, and majority of them were all my fault. You know, it was more kind of pushing the limits than not being safe. That's just part of racing, and especially racing motocross and dirt bikes for years and years. So we reached out to ROVA, which is Recreational Off-Highway Vehicle Association, and we reached out to ATV Safety Institute and got them on board to help send instructors to tell the more technical end of it. And so we went into... This past September, we went into a middle school in Superior, Wisconsin, 1,050 kids. We had the whole school in front of, in the auditorium, and I had myself, a bunch of other riders. We had Levi LaValle from Snow and a bunch of other, you know, great influential people to tell the story of how important power sports safety is. You know, wearing the right gear and being trained, knowing how to operate your machine correctly. That's the two biggest things, and it's very, very simple. You know, what a lot of people don't even know is that anytime you buy a new machine, most of the time there's a credit that comes with that machine for a free rider training course. And that's almost every machine, almost every OEM offers that. You know, they want their people to ride these things and have fun, but we want you to do it in a safe way. So to learn how to operate your machine correctly, that alone can stop a lot of, you know, possible injuries, and then wearing the right gear on top of it, well, that kind of seals it off. So our biggest story is to just show people that power sports can be extremely fun and a safe way to enjoy the outdoors with your family and friends. Really, it's that simple. But we did a big presentation with 1,050 kids. We had news and radio commercials and, you know, interviews and all that kind of stuff, and really to push the awareness of safety. In the state of Wisconsin, where we did this, here's some little fun facts for you. So in the state of Wisconsin.
My home state.
Oh, yeah, there you go. So you may know some of this. So in Wisconsin, you are required to show safety certification that you know how to operate your machine correctly. If you're born after the year 1989, you're required to wear a helmet if you're under the age of 18 because it's all on public lands. Private lands, they can't control that. And in Wisconsin, I know it's Wisconsin and Northern Michigan, but I'm pretty sure it's Wisconsin only. There's more trail miles in Wisconsin than there are interstate miles in the whole country.
Sounds about right.
So, like, a lot of people have no clue about that because that's like the northern tundra. Like, who goes up there? A lot of people go up there, and the trail systems are amazing. I did an adventure ride up there last year. It's like top five outdoor recreation state in the country is up there. And, of course, that's where a lot of the OEMs are up in that Minnesota-Wisconsin area. So what a better place to do a power sports safety presentation than there. And then so I've kind of started my own thing as far as we work with the safety organizers, but I've started my own thing. It's called Gear Up Power Sports. And basically the story of just gear up and go out and ride and have a safe, fun time. You know, it's really that simple.
If people want to get more information on that or to help out, where should they go?
So my pages, I post on that some. My social media between Facebook and Instagram is Nitro Redneck, R-E-D-N-E-K, Hubert, H-U-B-E-R-T. I have another Instagram page called Let's Ride. I want to say it's Let's Ride Power Sports. It's currently everything's called Let's Ride. There's a website, letsrideamerica.com, and such as that to get information on that. But if you go to my page, you can look back and link through Let's Ride. But we're in the middle of a name change because Gear Up just works better. It sounds better, and Let's Ride gets a little confusing sometimes. But at the same thing, you know, it's all about having fun and just showing people a safe way to have fun. We want to see people ride for years and years and years, not just a couple summers and get scared of it and walk away from it.
Hubert, thank you so much for taking time. I know you're super busy this weekend, so I really appreciate it. We're excited to see the shows this weekend, so thank you so much for stopping by.
Oh, thank you so much, and thank Polaris for inviting us all out here for Camp Razor, and then, of course, the companies I work with are Super ATV and Wiener Schnitzel, the hot dog company, and Infinite Off-Road and System 3 Wheels and Tires. That's who I work with, and they're great, great people, make great products, and they all share the vision of, you know, get out, ride, have fun, but be safe all at the same time. You know, that's the only people I work with.
Well, we'll see you at the show then.
Thank you all so much. Hope you all enjoy the show.
Thanks again to Hubert for sharing his wealth of knowledge. Follow him through the links in the description of this episode. If you like what you've heard, please consider leaving us a 5-star review. And make sure to tell your friends to subscribe to the Ride Ready Podcast wherever they get their podcasts. Until next time, this is the Ride Ready Podcast. So long, Glamis. We're headed back to slightly less sunny Minnesota. Remember, all riders should always wear helmets, eye protection, and protective clothing and footwear. Read, understand, and follow your owner's manual. Never ride under the influence of drugs or alcohol. Ride within the limits of your own abilities, and never engage in stunt or exhibition driving.
The Ride Ready Podcast is brought to you by the Polaris Help Center, your first stop for vehicle information, maintenance tips, and how-to videos. Look for the Help button in the upper right-hand corner of any Polaris brand website.